guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Oh, not so fast. Not Mackie and Judd. It's bonus scoop time, which means Zolgad, our guy, Doogie, and executive producer Declan Goff. Doogie, what's going on, man? How are you today?
What's up, Judd? Happy 420 day, an unofficial holiday in this country. So I'm doing a Zoom, Judd, in about an hour with Mark Coyle. It's been a long time since I've done an official conversation with Mark.
Yeah.
Like, will you buy me lunch or dinner if my first question to Mark is, how are you celebrating 420 day?
Oh,
like, do you think Mark Coyle has ever been high in his life?
You know, I'm not going to dismiss it totally. I mean, there might have been. I mean, he was a young man at one time. We all do things that we wouldn't do now,
right?
I wouldn't dismiss it. Like, he came up in the '80s, right? Like, he's my age-ish, 50-ish.
He is, yeah, young 50s.
Oh,
he was a college athlete, right? He played football at Drake.
Yeah, but I'm just
saying, he was an athlete, so he may have followed a lot of rules to maintain eligibility.
You know what it was? It was secondary smoke. That's what the problem was for Mark Coyle. He didn't smoke the joint, but somebody around him did, and he just got high on life. That's what happened. 420 day.
So I may throw that question his way. I for sure will ask him. His 5-year athletic director anniversary is approaching in a couple weeks. If you think about the 5 years of Mark Coyle being in charge,
yes,
holy cow! Like, if you go all the way through all the crap that's happened, right, going back to the football boycott, the firing of or not retaining of Tracy Clays, hiring PJ Fleck, hiring other coaches, right? Like, the pandemic, navigating the last 13, 14 months, like, he's dealt with so much.
Hockey coach, men's coach in that sport, basketball, football, absolutely. I would be now, and I don't know if you've talked about this with Mark on or off the record previously, but I would be interested to know if he has considered ever having a little bit more of a public appearance than he does now. Like, I just find it, because I think he's a smart dude, and look, I get the fact that he's not entirely comfortable in front of the cameras. We've seen that before. But, I mean, I'm just curious at times because you're the AD at this school, which is huge. If he's thought about, you know what, I've got to have at least a little bit more of a presence publicly than I currently do.
Well, and you think about the history of ADs, at least since you and I have been working in this market. You go way back to Joel Maturi. He was incredibly accessible. Like, I used to do a show on the then 1500 ESPN frequency, which is now Score North. It was a weekly Gophers show way back when we had the rights to Gophers men's basketball. We did a lot of Gophers coverage back in the day when we did a lot of, you know, just regular programming as opposed to, you know, just the way the business has evolved,
sure.
You know, a lot of YouTube and social media. But back in the day of just more conventional radio, I used to do a weekly Gophers show. He literally joined me every week.
Yeah.
We would talk for 10 or 15 minutes on mic. Then we would talk for a while off mic. Norwood Teague was incredibly accessible. Mike Ellis, his deputy AD in charge of basketball, was incredibly accessible. You know, even Tom Moe as the interim AD back in the day, like a lot of administrators going back many years at the U have been really accessible. When it comes to Mark, I brought this up with him. It was pre-pandemic, so it was at some point, maybe a couple years ago, we did a sit-down television interview. I brought that very topic up, and he told me at the time, yes, he would like to do more. But talk, just it hasn't equaled action. He used to do Dave Lee's radio show on WCCO Radio, a weekly hit for, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 minutes. Nothing hard-hitting.
Sure.
Otherwise, you know, the occasional Gopher football pregame radio show appearance, you know, the occasional interview here and there. But, like, Judd, it's been a really long time since I've connected with Mark for an on-the-record, on-camera, on-Zoom interview. I've been literally efforting an interview with him going back to the football season, and it was finally offered my way. And it's not like there's any like big topic I need to hit him on. I mean, I can come up with 10 or 15 talking points. Like, I'm curious, heck, I'd love to see Johnny Tower over at St. Thomas after he just added Jarvis O'Mersa. Like, St. Thomas, as they ascend up to Division I, the Summit League, I'd love to see Ben Johnson's team play Johnny Towers' team in a non-conference game in November. So I'll throw that question his way. John Anderson is on the record saying his contract expires in the summer.
Yeah, and his team's not good.
It is a really
bad
team.
They've won like four games. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they stink. So I'm curious if Mark wants to retain Johnson. I mean, I can come up with questions for Mark, but there's not like any earth-shattering talking point that I need to hit him on. But like when it was offered my way, I wasn't going to say no because it's been so damn long.
Yep. And I'm not saying that he should appear once a week. He just basically doesn't appear. And there are times, the one thing that I guess I find a little bit confusing is there have definitely been times where he could put out fires and like he's just nowhere to be seen or quoted. And at those times, you're like, really? You're not going to be, you know, the Pitino stuff. I'm not saying that he's got to come out and give you chapter and verse, but there was certainly an opportunity there to be like, we're going to get through the season. We're going to do, you know, just the standard stuff, which I think for a person in his position is probably what he should do. Just because you are in charge of an athletic department that's absolutely huge. So I would think that somebody would push him to say, you don't need to be a social butterfly, Mark Coyle, but you probably should be out there just a bit more.
I think some people have pushed him, maybe not recently, but going back a couple years, I'm with you. He needs to be more public, more visible. But I'll tell you this much. If you talk to people that work under him, have worked under him, you know, heck, the way he's conducted some of these ninja-like coaching searches, yeah. Heck, the language he put in Richard Pitino's contract extension a couple years ago, where they now don't owe him a penny with this buyout, right? Being able to secure Bob Motzko, you know, thinking out of the box, securing Lindsey Whalen, even though
he's done a good job.
There's
there.
Been some growing pains there, although she's doing a good job on the recruiting front. So I think at some point, Lindsey is going to win at a higher level, but like he's done a lot of good. So why not? But like also, like we don't talk about enough of their success academically. Just to get that word out, right? Because we're so programmed to treat, and you know, I'm at blame for this, but like this is a pro model. At times, you know, I'm guilty of covering the Gophers like I do pro teams. You know, maybe Mark should just get out there and remind us about just how well these students are doing academically, right? They put out the press release here or there,
yeah,
but
that doesn't mean anything.
Why not get out in front of that? Do a bunch of interviews, you know, go through the car wash, you know, especially now with Zoom, you know, give Channel 11 10 minutes, give Channel 9 10 minutes, give me 10 minutes, give Channel 4 10 minutes, you know, do you and Phil, just do a bunch of interviews. Like it only makes sense. So
yes.
I hope it changes at some point. But Judd, based on the last time I brought that up with him, nothing has changed.
Interesting. Okay, so I believe the draft for the National Football League starts a week from Thursday, 3 days. Obviously starts in primetime, first round, Vikings picking 14th. What can you tell us, scoop-wise, what you are hearing right now in the scuttlebutt around what this team might do? Because we all can come back to the fact that they desperately need offensive line help and that a tackle would be a great pick. And I'm still not so sure that the head coach of this team wouldn't say, well, yeah, that sounds great, but you know what I'd really like? I'd really like a pass rushing defensive end. Or you know what? I'm worried about Jeff Gladney. And if JC Horn is there, I'd like him. What's the scoop on your feeling where the Vikings might be going?
Well, and if you look at, you bring up Horn. I mean, look at what he did against the top wide receivers in the SEC, whether it's the LSU kid Chase, the Alabama receivers.
Yep.
Like JC Horn is a big time cornerback. I'll tell you this much. There is a belief from a lot of people league wide that the Vikings at some point with their 10 picks are going pass rusher. At some point they are going linebacker. At some point they are going safety. At some point they are going cornerback. They are going to take, I would put the over under at 1.5. I would take the over on an offensive lineman they end up drafting. So I think they end up taking at least two offensive linemen. You know, they've done a lot of homework on quarterbacks, right? Now, they weren't at Trey Lance's second pro day yesterday in Fargo.
Yeah.
And just based on some dialogue with some people in Fargo, like Clint Kubiak has had a lot of conversations, the Vikings offensive coordinator, the new Vikings play caller, with people in Fargo, that the Vikings are convinced that Lance is not getting to 14, that they'd have to move up. Just probably not realistic for them to move up for Lance. But Judd, at some point, I think they're taking a quarterback. They've done so much homework on quarterbacks that at some point with those, what is it, six picks in rounds 3 and 4?
Yep.
I think at some point Rick's going to try to move back into the second round. But they have six picks in rounds 3 and 4. It's like eight picks from pick 78 to pick 170-something. Like, they have so many picks, 10 draft picks, almost as many picks as any team in this draft, that I do think they go quarterback. But when talking about specifically pick 14, Judd, it's harder than ever to handicap because of no top 30 visits, because of no private workouts. Like, I was catching up with somebody that's close to Micah Parsons, the stud linebacker out of Penn State who opted out of the 2020 season. But if you look at his tape from 2018, 2019, he's a big timer. You can make a case he'll be the first defensive player off the board. By the way, that's an interesting question. Who would you bet on being the first defensive player off the board? But some people will tell you it'll be Micah Parsons. So I was curious, have the Vikings connected with Micah Parsons? Mm-hmm. Of course. Yes, they have. The Vikings have connected with him because whether it's StreamYard, Zoom, a phone conversation, it's very easy, right? Easier than ever. So like the Vikings have done so many Zoom interviews, it's really hard to pinpoint exactly what they're thinking. Plus, as long as Orlando Brown Jr. is still sitting out there,
yep,
and Vikings have this glaring need at left tackle, does the possibility exist? Maybe it comes down to who's on the board at 14, if Baltimore really likes a guy at 14. But I can't escape that possibility of the Vikings moving from 14 to 27,
yep,
landing Orlando Brown Jr. There might be some other parts involved in such a transaction. And I checked, there's nothing really new on that front. But like, you know, to use the cliche, it's the calm before the storm, right? 9 days out.
He's being traded. Yes.
He's I agree. Going somewhere at some point. Now, maybe it's Jacksonville. Maybe it's somewhere else. But as long as he's out there, and as long as I know that the Vikings have engaged Baltimore in talks, I can't tell you that they've engaged them in talks in the last few days. Maybe the most recent talks were 4 or 5 weeks ago. But I can tell you the Vikings have talked to the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So as long as Orlando Brown Jr. is sitting out there, I can't escape that possibility. I'll also tell you this much, Judd. The Vikings have done a lot of homework on the Oregon left tackle, who I just talked to Desmond Howard. I did a Zoom with Desmond Howard, who's doing a bunch of draft work for ABC and ESPN. He actually thinks Penei Sewell could end up starting at guard for wherever he lands, but I think a lot of teams say
you want him
a tackle. He's a long-term left tackle.
Yeah.
He's a long-term left tackle. He's the consensus number one left tackle in this draft. In fact, if you talk to a number of draft pundits, Judd, they will tell you that Sewell, going back multiple years, is the top tackle. Like, if you want to compare him to the 2020 left tackles or the 2019 left tackles,
yep,
or even the 2018 left tackles, that he is about number one. Like, this is one of the better left tackle prospects going back multiple years. Rick Spielman was at his pro day. Yes, the Vikings have connected for a virtual interview with Penei Sewell. If he falls far enough, let's say he gets by Cincinnati at pick 5, that Cincinnati goes Jamar Chase at 5. Does he go 6 to Miami? They just signed an offensive lineman, DJ Fluker, yesterday. I'm not convinced he's going 6 to Miami. Does he go 7 to Detroit?
I think somebody comes up and gets him, Dukes, right?
Could that be the Vikings? I can't dismiss that possibility, Judd, of the Vikings moving up, whether it's to 10, Dallas. Now, maybe that's for Slater, the kid from Northwestern, although he doesn't have the long arms the Vikings like in their offensive linemen. But everything else about Slater projects really well to how the Vikings, you know, like their offensive linemen to be. So whether it's pick 10 at Dallas or George Payton and pick 9 at Denver or maybe Miami at 6, would Miami move back, end up with, let's say, one of the Alabama wide receivers at pick 14, mm-hmm, then the Vikings get up to pick 6. And Penei Sewell would be staring them in the face.
So the two teams in the top 10 that I think are definitely shopping their picks, and the Vikings have probably talked to both teams. I think they've talked to the Falcons for sure at 4. The Dolphins, in fact, I saw this report, I think it was in the past couple of days, the Dolphins at 6 now are also shopping that pick. And I think the reason why the Vikings have made calls is Penei Sewell. I think that's why. I don't think they're going to trade up and take a QB. That's a possibility, but I don't see it for them. I think the main reason why. So I think the Vikings here have three options that I'm guessing they're still exploring. One is trade up, take a left tackle. Don't be scared by the Khalil fail, because the Khalil fail is a weird thing. Like, I don't blame them. And if Sewell is the guy, that's a 10-year guy. That's an 8 to a 10-year guy with team control on his rookie contract as a first round pick, Dukes, for 5 years. So that's a great deal.
He's 20 years old, by the way, Jeff.
Yeah.
So that's
a solid pick, because if you're right there, you have solved an expensive long-term problem for a long time. Choice two, stand pat. Now, I think the problem with that one is this, probably the push and pull of who they take there, because you know, Dukes, as well as I do, no BS here, the head coach is going to politic for defensive help there. The team, if they're smart, is going to say, we need offensive line help. And the head coach is going to say, that's not going to save my job. So I think the third option, which is also a realistic possibility, is trade 14, move back into the 20s, like you said, and take Kwity Paye in the 20s. Because at 14, he's a reach. If you get back into the 20s, that's probably a solid pick. So I would say that trading back is probably, just speaking for the Vikings, their top option. Trading up is going to be hard to do, but would make a lot of sense. And standing pat draft night one could cause a lot of dissension, because I think a lot of different people will have a different idea of what they should do if they stay at 14.
Kwity Paye is interesting. I just talked to Desmond Howard about Kwity Paye, right? The Michigan connection. I mean, Kwity Paye has some Everson Griffin in his game. The Vikings have done a lot of homework on Paye. I'm with you that at 14, that might be a bit of a reach. But yeah, somewhere in the 20s, Kwity Paye would make a lot of sense. What would it take to move up to get Penei Sewell, Judd? Do you have to give up your 2022 first?
Probably, yes.
You probably do. How much of a slippery slope is that? If you look at what San Francisco gave up to move up, what was it, 9 spots?
Yeah, 12 to 9, right? Or 12 to 3, I'm sorry. Yes, I think that's correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, they gave up, what, multiple first-round picks?
Yeah.
So, like, the cost is significant. Of course, the Vikings don't have a second-round pick to give up in a trade. At least right now they don't, because of the Ngakoue trade. Mm-hmm. So you would be giving up your 2022 first. But if you do feel like Penei Sewell is the best left tackle, and if you agree with some of these other pundits that he's the best left tackle of the last few years at 20 years old, Judd, I think you give up your 2022 first. As goofy as that might sound, I think if you're convinced he is a superstar, that he is your left tackle for the next 8 to 10 years, that he'll be your left tackle when he's 27, 28, 29, only 20 years old right now. If you're convinced that he is your left tackle for multiple contracts, I think you give up your 2022 first to move up.
San Fran traded to the Dolphins their 12th pick in this year's draft, which then went to, in a separate trade, the Eagles, a first and a third round pick in 2022, and a first round pick in 2023.
That's multiple firsts. That was pretty healthy. So, like, I don't think the Vikings are giving up multiple firsts. I think the Vikings would love to see Penei Sewell fall. So have the LSU wide receiver go 5. You want the 4 quarterbacks to go. Well, 5 quarterbacks. You want 5 quarterbacks to go in the top 14, but you certainly want Mac Jones to go 3. You probably want Fields or Lance to go maybe as high as pick 4. Maybe somebody moves up to Atlanta at pick 4. You mentioned how the Falcons have had dialogue with teams, and I'm with you. I think the Vikings have at least talked to Atlanta to gauge what they're thinking, you know, but then you want Pitts, the Florida tight end, to come off the board. You want maybe even Micah Parsons or the Alabama cornerback, whoever the top defensive player is, get that guy off the board. Maybe it's J.C. Horn. Whoever it is, you want that guy off the board. That does Penei Sewell somehow get to pick 8 or pick 9? That in that scenario, the you Bengals don't need to give up multiple firsts.
Yeah.
The Bengals is the key, right?
But if
the Bengals have Riley Reiff now, but what do they think of Riley Reiff? And like, what are the Bengals thinking at pick 5?
Yeah, and if he gets past the Bengals, my guess is somebody comes up to the Dolphins and we get a pretty significant trade there, right? It could be the Vikings.
Do you need to give up? Okay, so do you need to give up to go from 14 to 6, 8 spots? Is that comparable to what the Niners gave up to move up 9 spots? Because if it is, yeah, then the cost is 2 first-round picks. And I struggle to see the Vikings giving up multiple first-round picks.
Agree with you. Hey, so what in the folks that you have talked to about this, Doogie, I would argue, make a case, that the lack of a combine and more importantly, the lack of being able to vet these guys thoroughly like they do actually in some ways might help, because my personal opinion is like the Vikings think they're so damn smart breaking down players. And at times I think it goes so far beyond actual football that it gets to, they pass on players they probably should not. But what's the philosophy of the folks that you've discussed with this with? The one thing where I would think that the scouting job would be really hard is the amount of good players who opted out of the college game in 2020. How, you know, you now don't have a year of tape. You don't have a year of improvement. I got to think that that's going to present some tremendous dilemmas as far as having to take guesses about where guys are at progression-wise without truly knowing, and you don't, like, you can't go back and watch them from 2020.
You're right. That's why I think teams, when they can, they're all about acquiring picks in 2022 or 2023. We've seen some of those transactions already, right? Because there will be more certainty next year and the year after. I'll give you another example, Judd. So last Monday, I'm with Ellerson Smith. He's from Minneapolis South High School. The last time he played in an actual game was 2019 at Northern Iowa.
Wow.
Now, he played in the Senior Bowl. He went down to Mobile,
yep,
performed really well, had his pro day about 4 weeks ago, had a good pro day at Northern Iowa. But really, you need to go all the way back to like November of 2019.
Yep.
That is a long time, right? So like, how do you view those kids? There's a lot of FCS players in that boat, right? Dylan Raddins from Becker High School. The Vikings really like Dylan. They've connected with him, of course, because the Vikings have connected with a lot of guys, although they actually have not connected with Ellerson outside of they did connect with him in Mobile, because literally every player at the Senior Bowl in Mobile connected with every team. So
sure,
the Vikings got some time with Ellerson down in Mobile, but since then, nothing. And I don't even know how to read into that. Like, he's a great kid. Like, I could see how the Vikings connected with him once and said, there are no character concerns there. Like, this kid is A+. You know, we need to interview some other kids. We don't need to spend our time interviewing that kid. Like, we know everything there is to need to know about that kid. He passes with flying colors.
Right.
They have connected with the Becker kid, Raddins, the former North Dakota State Bison left tackle. He fits their athletic profile incredibly well. Like, if the Vikings go defense in the first round, do they move up from 78 to get Dylan Raddins? Right. But that's another example where, you know, good pro day, performed well in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But like the last time he played in a legitimate game, we have to go far back. So like, how do you evaluate Dylan Raddins? So there are all sorts of challenges in that regard. There are so many good players that didn't play in 2020.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase didn't play. Micah Parsons didn't play. Penei Sewell didn't play. Slater from Northwestern didn't play. And that's why I think Spielman made, a great effort. And he was at Northwestern's pro day. He wanted to be there, mm-hmm, to see Slater with his own two eyes after Slater didn't play in 2020. He wanted to be in Eugene, Oregon to see Sewell after Sewell didn't play in 2020. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't have the answer how these teams look at these guys, but it's another layer to the equation. There's no denying that.
Where does Rashad Bateman go, in your opinion?
Well, I'm biased. I think he's a first-round pick. It's been a long time since the Gophers have had a first-round pick. We need to go all the way back to Lawrence Maroney, whatever year that was. I mean, over a decade ago. Some guys came close, right? Max Williams came close. Rashid Hageman came close. Antoine Winfield Jr. last year came close. But it's hard, right? Like the Florida receiver, some teams may prefer him. You know, you think about the two Alabama receivers, the LSU receiver. So at best, it looks like Rashad Bateman, at best, is the fourth receiver off the board, but he may not go until, you know, the sixth, seventh, or eighth receiver off the board. So yep, maybe more realistic is him going in the second round. But I can tell you this much, there are teams that pick in the late first that have done a lot of homework on Bateman that are very logical fits, including the Green Bay Packers, but also
yes,
the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. But I'm biased. They used him differently last year. Let's not forget, he battled COVID. Like he told me, I did a one-on-one with Rashad about 2 weeks ago, right after his pro day. I mean, he told me right up until like a month ago, he was still feeling the effects of COVID.
I put no stock.
He also battles asthma,
yeah,
you know, so that was on top of the COVID, but he just felt like all of 2020, those, what, 5 or 6 games he played for the Gophers, because remember, he opted out at the very end. So I forget what it was. It was a small sample size, 5 games, something like that, give or take a game. But those games he played last year, like he feels like he wasn't himself. He put on a show April 1st, earlier this month, mm-hmm, at Pro Day. He really, really put on a show at Pro Day. I think there's a lot to like about Bateman. Go back to his true freshman year. Do you remember that one-handed catch?
Yes, Fresno State.
He made,
right?
Was it Fresno State South Dakota State?
It was South Dakota State. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. It was what? His opposite Winfield hand, his left hand.
Yes.
It was an unbelievable catch. You look at his basketball background.
Yep.
I mean, that's an incredible athlete. Like if he wanted to go Division I in basketball, he had big time basketball offers coming out of high school. Like he is just one of those freak athletes that I just think Rashad Bateman is going to be a really good pro.
That was a Mossonian catch. That's one of the great catches. And here's the thing about the Packers. I think Rodgers would love this kid. I think he would absolutely love him. And I put zero stock in last year. Like, I don't take anything from that. When this guy is playing well, and I think he's a smart player, and I think he would fit in seamlessly in with the Packers. I really do, Dukes.
Yeah, and I mean, we root for storylines, right?
Yeah.
That would be an incredible storyline. Absolutely put Rashad Bateman in Green Bay. But there's a part of me that would love to see him, you know, go late first, that if the Packers do take him, do it in the late first. Don't move backwards. Let's not have him wait until Friday to get drafted. But, like, I think it's pretty clear, he'll be off the board among the first 50 picks. Now, it was weird. I keep referencing my conversation with Desmond Howard, because it happened literally 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. Desmond brought up the possibility of Bateman getting to the third round. I said, Desmond, with all due respect, no, he's not getting.
You told him
like,
no?
It's hard to handicap a lot of stuff. I think I told him after we were done recording. But regardless, like there's a lot of stuff that's really hard to handicap.
Yeah.
But I feel really confident that Rashad Bateman is not getting to the third round.
I hope not. Twin scoopage. We are, full disclosure, recording this on Tuesday, and they're scheduled to play a double dip against the A's in Oakland. Are we back on track now? Are we back to, at least I know some guys are going to be out, but are we back to a normal schedule? They're supposed to be off Thursday, come home and play the Pirates in a 3-game series on Friday, because this has been a season of stops and starts, and there's been a lot of goofy things so far if you're the Twins from a schedule standpoint.
Well, Judd, I mean, at some point here, it might be, heck, later today. It might be tomorrow.
Yeah.
There will be a verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial.
Yeah, I know.
And depending on what takes place thereafter, like, do the Twins play the Pirates at Target Field on Friday? I don't know.
Are they prepared to Pittsburgh?
Well, I don't know if they're prepared to pivot it to Pittsburgh. It makes sense. Like, I was told So the Timberwolves play Utah Saturday in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
That there are contingency plans in place for the Wolves Jazz game Monday. What is Monday? The 26th, next Monday. Mm-hmm. So the Wolves and Jazz are scheduled to play at Target Center. I'm told among contingency plans, it's for the Wolves and Jazz just to stay in Salt Lake City and play that game Monday in Utah. So I can tell you that from a Wolves standpoint.
Okay.
I need to dig a little bit on the Twins, but like, how could you not have some sort of contingency plan in place? Like, teams have been preparing for a while. The Boston Red Sox, when they were in town, when was that, last week? Mm-hmm. The Red Sox stayed at the Westin in Edina. They looked out a month ago, their traveling secretary, and said, we don't want to be in downtown Minneapolis. So I can't remember the last time a team stayed in Edina, but the Red Sox hotel was in Edina by South.
That's a nice Westin. I like that Westin.
It's a very nice Westin, yeah. Actually, Jim Dutcher lives there. There's a
Longwell
bunch of
did too.
There. Yeah, yeah. It's a great spot.
Yeah.
But like,
good chain restaurants too.
I'd be surprised if the Pirates are staying in downtown Minneapolis if they do end up coming here to town. I will check on that, but I'm just telling you, Judd, like logically speaking, how could there not be a contingency plan in place? So we just need to wait. Like, who knows? We have no idea. If anybody tells you they know when the jury is going to conclude
how would you
their
know
deliberations,
that?
Nobody knows.
How would you,
we don't know.
How would you
wouldn't
know.
So we need to wait and see on that front. But yeah, so there may be another disruption with the Twins. But yeah, they're back at it this afternoon, late this afternoon. It's a doubleheader, a straight through seven inning doubleheader.
Love it.
Against the red hot Oakland A's. There will be at least one roster move today. Brent Rooker is back. He was supposed to be in the lineup on Saturday in Anaheim, so they need to activate him. Mm-hmm. And we're still awaiting word. I don't know who the third twin is that has COVID. So we know Andrelton Simmons. We know Kyle Garlick. I don't know who the third player is. I'd love to tell you, and I know that this podcast is the scoop. I'm supposed to have every answer. I don't have the answer.
Darn it, Doogie. The podcast is here for you to give us the damn scoop. All right, final scoops. Clean out the scoopage notebook. What else do you got for us?
Well, anybody watching or listening to this, if you're into prayer, mm-hmm. say one for Tom Curvers, Wild assistant general manager, inoperable lung cancer. Mm. Unfortunately,
great guy.
It's not looking good. And yeah, Tom, great guy. I won't claim to know him super well, but we've done a few Zoom conversations going back the last, 12 to 18 months. I've had him on the Scoop podcast. Heck, Jed, I'm sure you have some memories of him, whether it was winning the Hobey Baker in the mid-80s at Minnesota Duluth.
UMD is great.
Or his NHL career. He spent a lot of time in the Arizona Coyotes organization, but like it's not good. He's not even 60 years old. It's just
it's awful.
It's so incredibly sad. So if you're into prayer, say one for Tom Curvers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, Dukes, we'll talk to you again on Thursday and get more scoops, but take care.
Yeah, let me give you one more, too. I've been asked a lot about St. Paul Saints Television.
Okay.
So they don't control the rights to their road game. So, like, they open up on, what is it, May 4th or May 5th in Omaha, and there will be a web stream of that game, but that game won't be on local television.
Your dog's
but their
a
home
Saints
games,
fan, Dukes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's
a big
he's
Saints
out of
fan.
Control.
He truly
he's
loves
out of
the
control.
Saints. Just a fan, okay?
I'm sure he either sees the mailman or I've got the weirdest dog on the planet. He can't stand the FedEx truck, the Amazon Prime truck, or the UPS truck. It could just be a regular truck.
Yeah.
He's fine with it. But if it's UPS, FedEx,
you know why?
Or Amazon,
your dog,
he goes nuts.
Because your dog doesn't want you spending, just like my dog, Stella. She's tired of Dawn spending our hard-earned cash on boxes we don't need. I am so sick of recycling boxes in my house that Dawn, and she won't stop. Every day there's another package.
Yeah, well, my wife is guilty of that. Heck, I'm even guilty of that at times. So anyway, St. Paul Saints home games, a lot of them will be on local TV. So we, Hubbard Broadcasting, will have the Sunday home games. We've done Sunday home games going back a few years, so the Sunday home Saints games will be on 45 TV, Fox 9 Plus. So not regular Fox 9, but Fox 9 Plus is in talks to have some Friday
the old
home
29,
games.
Right?
The former Channel 29. Plus they may have some other home games, plus Bally Sports North will end up televising some home games. So there will be a good chunk of Saints home games on local television.
And hopefully Kirilloff will be with the Twins by then, so we won't have to watch him in Saints games.
I think he'll be with the Twins at some point, Judd. I mean, the outfielders, I mean, heck, I think he got into it with Depew on one of the Twins conversations, one of the Twins podcasts. I mean, crap, I'm sick of the Jake Cave at-bats, right? And Kyle Garlick, fine as a fourth outfielder, but like let's get Kirilloff up here, get him some regular at-bats. Even though I told you, I think last week, that when we've been over there, and we've been over there two or three times, the majority of the time we've been over at CHS Field, he's been working at first base. Now, Toby Gardenhire did a Zoom on Thursday or Friday saying they've divvied up the time equally, left field, right field, first base, which I think there's probably some truth to that, but I'm just telling you,
he'll play some
when
first
we've
base.
Physically been there, we've seen him the most at first base, but he can clearly play left field or right field. Byron Buxton can make up for some of those balls in the gap anyway. So, yeah, I want Alex up here as soon as possible. Get him up here. Get him regular at-bats.
Thank you, Darren. We'll talk to you.
Okay, see you, boys.
Good stuff.